Rob, I'm liking this. Rob, I'm liking this.
You're liking this?
Rob, I'm really liking this.
Clap mittens.
I didn't bring my clap mittens.
No. All right. Well, no. We'll see how that works out today.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
How's your week going?
My week's been going great. Can I catch them up on the whole debacle we had with editing?
Please. What else is everyone here to listen for?
We were very excited to do this podcast, but we edited on Saturday from 1:30 in the afternoon until 1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Which took the life out of me. Which I was surprised the recording actually took the life out of me, too.
Right, it's exhausting to just try to talk for an hour.
And you wouldn't believe that I would say those words would ever come out of my mouth, but yes, it was exhausting for me to talk for 2 hours straight. But my week was going good other than that. I have a question to bring to the table with you.
Bring it to the table.
This is the second time I'm going to mention somebody from the outside world, outside of the podcast realm here. Okay. I have certain things that I do in certain... how do I say this? It's certain environments in my life, okay? And without you breaking out in laughter first, I want to explain why I do this. And it seems rational to me. It seems reasonable to me, but not to other people because of I'm white and it's racist. But I wear a do-rag. I said not laugh. I wear a do-rag to the gym. And before you... I have it on under my hat because you know me. I always wear the hat. But it's the black tight skull cap do-rags. Now... I happened to leave it on, okay? I went to the gym, I got into my car, and I met Beaver. So I had to go see Beaver. I was talking to him, we're hanging out outside his house, and all of a sudden, mid-conversation, he turns to me and says, "Are you wearing a fucking do-rag?" First of all, I'm angry because that's him asking me that, okay? The white guy who sounds like Ving Rhames. But it's not like I wear the do-rag to keep the hat from not sweating into my hats at the gym. Do you believe me?
Is that really why?
So you don't believe me. 100% why I do that.
Because I've seen you wearing a do-rag.
No, you have not. No, you have not. Have you seen me wear a do-rag outside of the gym?
A bandana, not a do-rag.
That's different. Those are two different things, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So you're not just fucking with me, okay?
No, you're right. I've never seen you wear a do-rag.
I've worn the thin black bandanas, too, that are even the same material as do-rag underneath the hats. But I do... I had two hats that I ruined because I used to just wear the hats to the gym. And it gets, if you have, this starts to stink. The hat will stink.
That actually makes way more sense on why you do it. But I always thought you just did it for the fashion. That's why I thought it was silly.
No, that's 100% why I did. Like, anytime I've come here wearing the bandana, but the bandana is annoying because when you lay down on a bench or it's, that knot at the back, that was the problem. So, I started doing this, I would say, one of the Ohio State football players, they wear them under their hat they have the team emblem ones and everything.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I said to my dad, "Oh, I want to wear one of them," and he said that was a whole fight. That was a whole big argument. But I'm wearing it for the same reason. Like they're also wearing it for the same reason too. I'm not like wearing a do-rag that has the ties and then the flap down, and I'm not wearing a fucking headband around it. No, they're not multicolored. It's black. It's black. But I just took offense that because I am a young white male, that the fact that I wear a do-rag obviously has to be assumed that I'm wearing it for some kind of social statement. Like, I'm down. I'm jive.
Jesus.
I'm with it.
Well, I thought it was always just for the fashion. The way you carry yourself, I always just thought it was part of your fashion...
Aesthetic. Repertoire?
Yeah, sure.
I've worn the bandanas for... Like, I wore a bandana at the dinner, and I got a bunch of shit for it.
Yeah.
Like, Ariana knocked my hat off with the bandana off because we were in a restaurant and I was wearing it after the fact. But I like to wear... The bandana I can understand wearing, but the dupe... It's uncomfortable to just sweat into a hat and have it keep slipping down. But I wanted to establish that. But I think he has no fucking right to say that because I got into an argument with him. Answer me this question right now. Do you think Beavers ever worn a do-rag? He claims no.
I've never seen him wear one. He's not big on hat, head, or just head accessories. You know what I mean? I've never seen him wearing a hat or
you have,
a bandana.
If you think about it. He's not. I've never seen him wear a bandana. I'll say that. But I'm talking about the individual we were discussing. You're telling me that you can't fathom in your head that maybe throughout his, even when he was younger, Okay.
Oh, no, he watched The Wire and put one on, I imagine.
Thank you. Well, that's what he thinks I do it. I said I'm trying to be Omar without the cock sucking, you know?
Give me a whiff of that dick suck.
Yeah. All right, well, how was your week?
I am a mess. I'm all hopped up on cold medicine and a monster. I'm ready to fucking do it today. But the whole week, I've been stuck in Persona 5, going to high school, hanging out with my friends. Getting social anxiety about which friend to hang out with.
In virtual reality.
Oh, when they both text you on the same day and they want to hang out and you can only choose one, I turn the game off. I go to sleep.
I tell both of them, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be in 5 minutes. But are they real people? Are you playing like in an online...
No, these are characters in the game.
So it's not even like an online world?
No, not at all.
So you get anxiety about talking to fictional characters.
Yeah, it was like, do I want to hang out with the doctor or the homeschool teacher? Which one am I going to romance? I don't know yet. Working on it.
Wow. This isn't therapy, you know that, right? That's something you meant to do with therapist.
You're talking about going...
Wearing do-rags, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but whatever. But that's a real issue.
You should probably talk to your therapist about that.
I'm not allowed back there anymore. All right, let's roll with episode 2. I'm very excited. We've committed to something, by the way.
2 weeks in a row? I can't believe it.
Yeah, and it's a big deal. Big deal for me.
The only other thing that we've ever done 2 weeks in a row is watch WCW Nitro.
And that's even... We even stopped doing that.
Oh, it'll come back. I think we're going to do an entire episode on Nitro 1 year.
I want to discuss... In current events, can we do one current events thing between you and me? Here, right now?
Yeah, go for it.
Off topic.
Whatever you got.
We'll call it topic zero. Topic zero for the day.
Oh, the prequel.
I've stopped watching wrestling for a while because we've had this argument. Like, I love wrestling. I do. But when it's bad, I fucking hate wrestling.
Bad wrestling's really bad.
And you explained... It's like 86% bad. But that 14% is gold to me.
It's amazing. And yeah. When it's good, it's amazing.
Scott Hall spitting on Stevie Ray. That's gold, you know?
Right.
Owen Hart dying. That's gold.
Jesus.
That's not getting edited out. It's not. Okay.
I'm upset.
I didn't know Ronda Rousey signed a contract with the WWE. Did you know that?
I had heard that, yes.
But this is what the question was. Is that considered a legitimate binding sports contract? Like, she's not allowed to fight in an MMA tournament while she's under contract with them? Or it's all depending on her agent, them, how it works out?
Well, the only other person I could really compare it to would be... It was Ken Shamrock back in the 90s.
He was under contract with both?
No, he left the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him do a UFC fight once after he was under contract.
Okay.
And he was doing some pancrase in Japan, which is kind of like UFC.
Was that before Pride, even? Because he did Pride, too, as well, right?
I don't know if he was ever in Pride. But he was in... But it was similar. But last year, Brock Lesnar, they let him out...
To fight Overeem, right?
Not Overeem. It was Mark Hunt at UFC 200.
So that was an agreed-upon thing. They let him leave to do that.
Yeah.
And that's why he's
presumably... The WWE got paid for the appearance or whatever.
Okay.
Because then they let him do that, and Ronda Rousey showed up at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
They had they did the spot where Stephanie McMahon was talking to The Rock.
She loves her. She loves Ronda.
Right. Well, and they were also doing their whole big push for women wrestling and everything.
But that's what I was reading the dirt sheets. Don't be mad at me. Okay. For those of you who don't know what the dirt sheets are, it's this guy David Meltzer. He puts out all of the who's gonna win, and he gives you all like the angles and stuff beforehand. And a lot of wrestlers have hated him.
I'm a bigger fan of the PW Torch with Brian Alvarez. Shout out.
All right, so we got two dirt sheets to read now. But on the dirt rags, they claim that there's gonna be one of the things they think is gonna happen is she's going to win the Women's Royal Rumble, and that all the women are very upset about it. That they're like that she's not she hasn't paid her dues.
Are you spoiling the Rumble for me? Now I'm upset.
You read the dirt sheets on your own.
No, I don't. I don't read spoilers. And I don't read in Rumble month.
What politician do you think you are? You just admitted that you read the sheets.
I do, but not before the Rumble.
What's the point of reading the sheets after?
To see what happened.
Oh my god.
That's the best part of the sheets is you go back to and read like 1995 and what was going on and the rumors and the like what might have happened or who was talking to who.
No, I want the edge. I want the edge.
I can't watch. The Rumble is my favorite event of the year.
I didn't look at the men's Rumble. I looked at the females.
Right. And who knows what it's even going to be. Mm. But like you can get who's going to win the Rumble like the day of the Rumble.
Uh-huh.
And I try to avoid that because I want to watch the Rumble clean and just see Like, you know there's only, like, two or three guys that could possibly win the Rumble anyway. Mm-hmm. But, like, let me believe. You know? Maybe this year is fucking Heath Slater's year.
Yeah. Well, just to go, just because we can, once again, this is another topic we can talk about for 3 hours. On the Table for Three they did on the network, they gave a great, because the Hardys were talking to Finn. They were talking to Finn. Good idea for a match that the two of them would say. Enigma, which is Jeff Hardy in makeup, versus the Demon King. That's something. Like great two weirdos.
It wouldn't be Willow. Who's Enigma?
Enigma is his paint face. Is that, maybe that's TNA's
or
Willow?
Maybe it was Willow and TNA.
Yeah, one of the two. So we'll see how that goes. But I think it's pretty. Oh, shout out to my cousin who I think might be the. I can do this. I can say this.
Yeah.
I do have I have a female cousin, okay, who is in the WWE. Her name is Susan Deville. I think that's not her real name, but kayfabe.
Oh, easy, man. You're exposing the whole business.
Breaking kayfabe here, and most people would think that Z's making this up, but I would like you guys to think of me as a better liar than to make up that I have a pro wrestler in my family. But I hope Susan wins. Daria.
Right. What's her finish? It's like an armbar or something, right?
They changed her whole shift. Like, they didn't do they bumped up a lot of people out of NXT in the past 3 months.
Yeah, especially the women. Presumably for the Rumble. Yeah.
But even Bobby Roode, they pushed him fast. Like, I think they're going to have him win the U.S. title. That's probably what's going to happen. But Susan's thing is, they had her as, like, painted as the female Goldberg in NXT. Mm. They had her walk down with the MMA gloves.
Yeah, she's got the pads and the high shorts and everything.
But now, I don't even know if that's the angle they're going to keep it at, because she's part of this female group and it's different. I don't know.
Wait, was she in Paige's group, or is that the different group?
Different. I think it's different.
Because I don't know if you heard, Paige, she has a neck injury now. She has to retire.
Oh, does she?
And so, like, that whole... They were doing that whole faction warfare thing in the women's division. I don't know if they're going to be able to continue that without, like, Paige is a big piece of that.
But you could also see their bump with women. I get it. They should have planned this. It seemed like they planned this. They made this plan over the past year once they did the Mae Young Classic. But they bumped up a lot of women who I find unattractive. Now, I get that. I get you're saying it's wrestling. It's not supposed to be about the looks. But it's supposed to be about
looks. Well, that's actually something that I find very interesting about, especially women's wrestling. But, like, when you talk about men's wrestling and you talk about, like, who's good,
you're not talking about his looks.
No, except you are. Like, Hogan would not be Hogan if he didn't have the 24-inch pythons. You know what I mean?
Are you saying Hogan's a good-looking man? A bald, blonde man. Racist, bald, blonde man. You think Randy Savage is a good-looking man?
No, but he's got a great look. Do you see what I mean?
He has a good wrestling look, but I don't... I think women... You could have your wrestling look as a woman, I believe, is your looks.
Let me finish that. But, like, yes, you're totally right. There's totally wrestlers who, being ugly, like, George the Animal Steel works because he's an ugly man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because, like, he's this big, hairy bald, back. Hairy. Yeah. Yeah. And so, he's an animal.
Yeah.
But you do have guys that, it's good that they're good looking. Guys like Shawn Michaels, guys like Roman Reigns is very popular with women.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Would you say The Rock was? I don't think that was his thing, though.
No, I'm sure he had fans that were fans because he's attractive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, someone's look is always a big deal in wrestling, mm-hmm. right? Like, Luke Harper, I wouldn't call him a good-looking guy, but the way he looks is very important to his
character. Absolutely.
And so, like... And so people kind of shy away from wanting to talk about the women's looks because it sounds sexist. But, like, in a stage play, how they look is very important.
China's look was her whole fucking thing, and a lot of people didn't want her in because of her look.
Right, and she was a huge deal because of how she looked.
Yeah.
And then, and, like, later on, I mean, she got the Playboy spread and everything. Like, how, like, when she was, after she got some work done, and she was very good looking, but she was still huge.
Did you just say China's very good looking?
Yo, have you ever seen her Playboy spread? It's titillating. My dad bought it for me when I was like 14. It was awesome.
Your dad did you damage.
We watched Showgirls together. So, like, when...
Your dad did a lot of damage.
You should never be embarrassed of your sexuality, Z.
You like ugly women because of this. This is what it is. This is your shoulder issue.
I do love a nice pair of shoulders.
It's because your dad bought you a China play. Your dad bought you that?
Yeah.
We've never discussed that.
We went down to Dirty Al's, TMO.
Dirty Al's?
The TMO in
Miola. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that's called Dirty Al's.
Well, it used, apparently back in the 50s, it was owned by a guy named Al, and he would put all the dirty magazines out in the window. And so, and, like, my grandmother who was a very strict Catholic, like, she would go down there and, like, argue with the guy
about. This is amazing.
So, but, so it's just my, I don't know if it was ever actually called Dirty Al's, but that's, your what, dad's that's like, what my family calls it, is Dirty Al's.
Can I, just to, we have, I have to know this. Did you hear that she did the Playboy thing as a wrestling fan as a kid and ask your dad, can you take me to the store to buy this? Or how did that
100%.
And he said yes.
Yeah.
My dad probably would do that until he found out it was China. Like, my dad, like, what are you doing, Christian?
No, I mean, I think he got...
How old were you?
I don't know. That was probably... That was around 99, I think.
So you were 28.
So... I would have been like 12 or 13. Maybe 14. I don't know exactly what year she did
that. I never knew that story about you. That is too funny. That's funny.
All right, are you ready to get rolling?
Ready for topic one?
Topic number one?
Topic one. I'm going to take the reins here. For the second time, I'm taking the reins. I wanted to discuss, because we did TV and movies so much last week that we did say we wanted to mix it up, and because we are still learning as we go and we're enjoying doing this, I wanted to change it up and throw an album in here. Now, do you know the answer to this question before I start? The difference between a mixtape and an album?
I was planning on asking you this.
Okay. My understanding of it, there's not a clear-cut answer of what a mixtape is, because I looked this up.
Well, it's true. To me, a mixtape is something that you send as a teenager to somebody else. Like, I mix these different songs together, and I've never heard of an artist putting
out
a mixtape. That's
all they put out now, though. I think in terms of the way music works now is, they call this, like, the mixtape I'm talking about, but I thought it was an album until I looked on Apple Music, and I saw that it's considered a mixtape. Something that is put out on your own dime, that's not signed. It's an unsigned released album. So
was Macklemore's album, that was a mixtape?
It's technically an album because he did have an independent label put it out for him.
Okay.
This is the first guy to release Chance the Rapper. We're talking about the mixtape, The Coloring Book, which I recommend highly, highly. And I rarely. With music, with movies, I'll tell you, I am kind of a pushover with some my type of movies. I'll be like, this is great. But I really don't do it with music that much. Like, I'm really a pessimist when it comes to rap nowadays because I feel there's so much going on that's the same. You know, I feel there is a current with certain things. Like, when there's a guy like Future or there's a guy like Drake, or it happened with Lil Wayne very strongly. Certain ways they speak, certain ad-libs they throw into songs, it starts to get where there's a whole train of artists that hop on the train and they copy that kind of style. Chance the Rapper is the only one recently that I've seen that's done something different, and I like it. I really do. His second mixtape was the one that came out before this one. It was called Acid Rap, okay? And he was on an acid trip, and he put out this impactful... It was a great mixtape. It really was. But what happened was he was living in L.A. He rented out a mansion he was in for a year, and he was recording a mixtape, and he became a massive drug addict. Like, he was bad. He was taking Xanax a lot, and he was...
This is Acid Rap.
This is Acid Rap.
All right.
Okay, this is after Acid Rap.
2013's Acid Rap.
But he, at the height of his drug... He said he's had drug problems throughout his life, but his most concern was he was Xanaxed out all the time. End quote. Xanaxed out all the time. And coming from somebody who's... I've taken a Xanax before... When you're in that state, have you ever taken one before?
Once.
Okay. You don't remember a lot of the shit that happened. That's like a big thing with Xanax.
That's why I didn't never took it again.
Because it's scary. That's not a good thought to have, right. You know? But especially when you're an artist, I can understand somebody who's very talented like him being upset about that. Like, okay, I don't remember anything I created for the past year.
Right.
So what happened was an ex-girlfriend of his who he moved from, he's originally from Chicago, moved to LA, and she let him know that she told him that she was pregnant with, it was his kid. So he decided to sober up and move back to Chicago, okay? At like when he was getting a little bit of a buzz.
Is that why Acid Rap came out in 2013 and Coloring Book didn't come out until 2016?
Yeah, okay. Because of he says it because of his own... But he also tours ridiculously. The guy, that's a lot of his thing. He does a lot of festival shows. It's a big deal. But Coloring Book is amazing. One, because a lot of artists and bands that I've listened to, there is a stigma that once you sober up and like, get your shit together, the music isn't the same.
It's the Metallica effect.
Metallica, Aerosmith, like a lot of that. But I'm going to tell you right now, this was beneficial to him. Like, I told you to listen to a little bit of it. I didn't want you to go crazy and have... like an exact understand like every track written down and your thing, but this album is first of all it won 3 Grammys and it's the first non only available streaming album to win a Grammy ever, which is a big deal. And yeah. it was first released only on Apple Music, so that was the only place you can get it, which I tried Apple Music for the first time, and I like it. I do, but...
That's different than iTunes?
Apple Music is like the Spotify for iTunes, where it's streaming. And you can, if you want to download something, you can edit over.
Gotcha.
But I really like a lot of the songs in there. I do have my complaints with it. I'm not saying nothing, no piece of art to me is perfect. I could find a problem with the Mona Lisa, too. But I feel he put a lot of people on this mixtape that have inspired him or that he wanted to work with. I can understand that, but I'll stand by my word on this, and I would say it to his face. I feel Lil Wayne is unnecessary to put on any rap song anymore. I loved Lil Wayne when I was growing up, when I was in high school, stuff like that, but nothing's changed with him. He hasn't grown, and two, this whole I don't write my lyrics, it's all freestyle. Okay, that's all well and good, but guess what? Your verse, when they put you in a song, means dick to the song if there's a fucking theme to it. You know what I'm saying?
From the couple songs I listened to, that seems... The whole album seems to have themes. So, freestyling on that...
Yeah.
Even if it's the best freestyle, like...
You have to have some connection to the base of the song, I believe. That's the way it is. Like, I've heard... Lil Wayne has ruined a lot of songs for me that I've heard. There's a lot of good rap songs that I've heard. And there was a general... Like, each rapper who had a part in that song, they kept it true to what the message of the song was. And then Lil Wayne just shits out something that you're like, all right, it sounds cool, it's goofy, he has a cool little thing to his voice, but overall you're like, all right, that I didn't, you could have put somebody else in there, you put it in there because he's Lil Wayne,
right?
But I don't put Lil Wayne up on this pedestal where, like, some people put him up there with Eminem and Eminem, Jay-Z, Nas, and
putting him up there.
If you looked up the ratings, this is years ago too, but like a lot of people were putting him up as the next big like rap god, like he was going to be in that category. But I'm happy he's discovered for what I feel he's not where he was years ago.
Right.
But the other side of this too is the other thing I appreciate Chance for is Chance the rapper, not Chance. He writes his own music. You could tell he writes his own music. He's a Christian rapper. Like his music, there's gospel in it. He used the Chicago Children's Choir. And it's amazing. Each song is different. There's instruments in it. I like the people he's collaborating with on other songs. But the thing that got me was, too, I've been trying more to listen to more full-length albums. Because I do love music, but I have a lot of songs that I blast constantly. I'll blast for like 3 months. But I love the song. But then I realized me not listening to a full album and somebody's full body of work that they wanted me to hear, I'm missing gems that I could have really enjoyed.
Right.
You know, I stopped listening to chipping away at singles and actually played the album. And this is one of the, I'd say, maybe the fifth or sixth that I've been, like, religiously doing it with. And I was happy with it. Like, my favorite song on there I heard as a single. It was just on a documentary on HBO, on Rolling Stone. It was Same Drugs. He just sang it at the beginning of a concert. And I loved it. I'm like, this is different. This is cool. And then All Night is an amazing song on there. I liked, what was the other one I liked? Summer Friends is great. And then Jeremiah, he was big. 50 Cent put him on a few of his albums in the 2000s. Jeremiah went note for note with him with singing, and I really enjoyed it. As a whole, I would recommend the album to anybody who listened to it.
Right.
Coloring Book by Chance the Rapper.
Having listened to a couple songs, I can't wait to listen to more of it, because it was actually reminded me of what I would want from Kanye.
He's inspired by... Kanye's on the mixtape.
He's on the first song, I think,
yes,
right?
And he said Kanye's a big inspiration to him. And I hear it in some of the producing... Some of the way he produces the songs and some of the choruses. Like, I can hear that he likes Kanye a lot.
Yeah, and, like, a couple Kanye songs I love. I think Kanye is great.
He is.
But there's... I wanted to see him mature as an artist a little bit. And, like... Because he does some really amazing things. And instead, he seems to... sometimes settle into being Kanye.
He's plateauing himself, you're saying?
I guess, okay. Right? But I mean, God bless the guy. We'll do whatever he wants to do.
I don't like him calling himself the most impactful artist of our generation. Because he's not.
He's influencing Chance the Rapper, maybe
he is. He is, but it's... When he's saying stuff like that, I know... Like, my thing with Kanye West is Kanye West is a genius in terms of... He knows exactly what he's doing. Like,
right.
People think he's insane. He is not insane. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly... He chooses... As much as you think he's a nut and he just blurts shit off the top of his head, he knows what he's saying and there's a reason behind it. That's the way I'll end it with that. He's very intelligent. I'm not going to say he's not. But I love Kanye. I'm not going to say I don't. But he's not the Jimi Hendrix of rap. He's not the Beatles of hip-hop. You know, as much as he, I believe he really thinks that. And he's a great producer. He's probably the most influential hip hop producer of our generation. But no. Artist? No, no way. Artist is a big, big deal to me when you say artist.
Right.
You know?
One of my problems with getting into rap has always been, I can't get over the hype song. Like, the song where it's just hyping yourself up and talking about how great you are.
But you love them secretly.
Sometimes. I mean, a good one, absolutely. But I always want a little bit more.
You want more vulnerability out of rap?
Yeah. And, like, just to... Because it's the same way, I don't... The music I listen to tends to not be party music. Like, I get, there's room for every kind of music.
Except Andrew W.K.
You talk about musical genius of a generation.
That's the Warhol.
Oh my god.
You serious? Let's get a party going, let's get a...
You party till you puke?
You've seen him in concert.
Greatest concert I've ever been to in my life.
So that was the same year you bought the China Playboy? It was around that, right?
It was right around the same time.
That was a bad year for you, my friend. That was a bad year. You may have thought it was great, but that's damaging.
To get back to what I was saying, is the one song I listen to, I think it's All Great.
Yeah.
Electronic J? Electronica J?
Yes.
And it's... The whole song is, to get back to what you, the gospel feelings of... Like, the whole song is an extended analogy with the Bible, and he's talking about the mustard seed and coming up and being saved. And it's like, it's really amazing, poetry, I guess. To also, it's a good sounding, just a good sounding song. Like All Night is a little more tongue in cheek, but it's also funny, it's clever. It's what I want from hip hop. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Who cares what I want, but.
And the album isn't All Night. It's not all songs like that. It's not all anthem rap songs. Like, when you get a DJ Khaled mixtape, every song on there is that club anthem, because that's what he's great at producing.
If that's what you're good at, that's what you're good at.
Roll with it. But a lot of his stuff, and you could even look up like videos of his on YouTube, like he released a lot of his stuff is weird because it is poetry, where it's just a musician in the background with just a bass or a lead guitar and a drummer, and he just speaks. It's free verse. It's very, very good. And sometimes that's refreshing, but once again, I couldn't listen to that all day, but it's good to have variety, and he seems like he's the only one who's really trying to step outside of that.
Is Tyler, the Creator, not doing that?
Tyler, the Creator, does it too, and so does Frank Ocean. They're two friends.
I got about an hour's worth of research done on Tyler, the Creator before I realized we were doing Chance the Rapper.
What?
Because, you know, you had said a name with a title, and I was ready to talk about... I was ready to talk about Tyler, the Creator's Twitter account before you said it was Chance the Rapper. And I was like, well, I've got to scrap all
this. I would have gotten really mad until I realized it is name the end of the way. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We could talk about Tyler, the Creator another time. I'd like to.
I can't wait.
He's a fucking massive weirdo, but I like that.
I don't think I'm actually that familiar with any of his, like, music.
You've heard his music and like, his group of friends. Like, I love Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, he has a song. I sing Novocaine probably 3 or 4 times a month. Just when I walk around. I love that song. I love what it's about. And I love the... Like, I'm big about looking up the meaning to a song. And some people hate it. They're like, why'd you have to tell me that? I have my own meaning behind it. I'm like, alright, whatever. Then don't talk to me. But I really like to look up the meaning behind songs.
Well, that was what got me to appreciate hip-hop more. Is that, like, this whole website's based on, like, breaking down songs. And, like... how this is wordplay and what he's referring to here.
I love that.
And that's when it's good rap. Like, it's really amazing.
But I also consider rap to be, like, it's a spectrum just like any other art form. But I do, in the way I look at it, I don't consider what he's doing rap. I consider that more hip-hop. Like, rap, I do consider to be harder. I really do. That's just the way I look at it. Like, I'm not saying everything has to be N.W.A. and Tupac, but... I do consider rap to be a little more of a harder thing, and hip hop is a little more lighter and is a little more
right. Well, and there's a good mix on this album. He's rapping on this mixtape at times, right? But there's other songs that are more singy, I guess, or
singy.
I don't have a good word for it.
I don't either, but I'm just gonna laugh.
But you know what I mean?
Yes. And overall, yes, I would rate it if we're gonna just to establish rules here for here on out. If we're gonna do albums, I would like to. I'll do it at 1 to 5. I'd say 4.5.
That's a good recommend.
Good recommend.
4 out of 5. I'll listen to the rest of it.
Please do.
I'm really excited to.
Okay. Right. We got through our second episode, first topic of second episode.
That's big stuff. Hold on. Now, are we ready for topic number two?
Are we ready for you to get all your podcast things out of your system here?
What's that?
You have certain things that you, because you're a big podcast listener like I am. The cracking of the thing, because you, that's a podcast thing. People listen for these things. That I know you wanted to do the first burp. That was the first burp.
No, it's because I've already burped like three times.
I didn't even know.
You know, I've had a monster. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to be here.
Okay.
And well, if I pause everything and I burp, then I can edit it out later if I need to.
No, you're not.
But now it's been a 10-minute conversation. We have to keep it in.
Okay, topic two, Robbie, you take the reins now, bud.
All right. So for topic two, we're gonna try something a little different.
Can you give backstory on why you're doing this, please?
Yes,
please,
God. That. So I have an issue. Well, actually, you know what? I'm gonna go back a step further. You said something earlier. What was it? Oh, about how, like, when Lil Wayne came out, all of a sudden you have a bunch of other artists popping up that are all very similar.
Yes.
I've always noticed that in Hollywood. When a certain actor comes up, or like around the same time, it's like Hollywood is looking for a certain kind of
look thing, yeah.
Yeah. And so one of those guys in, I'd say, the mid-2000s was Emil Hirsch. He was a big new name on, you know, on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of other guys in the same group as him that I can never keep straight. So, and I've lost, what do you think, at least $100 to you over Emil Hirsch bets over the years?
That's generous, yeah. Yes.
And so,
can you tell them what the Emil Hirsch bet is, though, please?
Oh, the Emil Hirsch bet is, say we're talking about a movie, and I say Emil Hirsch is in that, and Christian usually shoots me down, because that is not Emil Hirsch. We bet money on it, and I'm almost always wrong.
I think you've won one.
I did get one.
Last one, and then I said, you know, this kid's getting the hang of it now. Now he's starting to know who he's learned the hard way, but yeah.
So this game, we're going to play a game, because my idea to try to show Christian how hard it is to actually keep Emil Hirsch straight. So we're going to play a game called Hirsch, McAvoy, and Sturgis.
And I have to guess which. All right, yeah, I'm sorry.
It's going to be Hirsch, McAvoy, and Sturgis.
Okay.
And
which are all actors?
Yes, it's Emil Hirsch, James McAvoy, and Jim Sturgis.
Okay, I'm just going to give them the credit. They're saying actors.
Yes, and they all came up around the same time. They're all good looking, skinny white guys.
No tans, zero tan.
They
have a very similar look. They all look like Ash from Pokemon. Am I wrong?
A little bit, I guess. I could see it.
I could see it.
If I was trying to cast Ash, those three would be near the top of my list.
They would all be at the reading, yes.
Yes. So it's going to be spelling bee rules. I'm going to give you a title, a year, and the character's name.
In a movie, and I have to guess which one it was in that movie?
You got it.
You're dead.
So you think you're ready.
Dead.
Just to give a quick, easy one, we'll do a couple just to kind of get you in the flow of it.
I really don't even need it, but go ahead. You're talking to the you're talking to the Lizard King here.
So first we're gonna start with 2016's Split. Who plays Kevin Krum?
James McAvoy.
Could you speak up a
James
little?
James McAvoy.
All right. See, that's an easy one right there.
Final answer.
Just to kind of get us started. You mentioned this one before the podcast. It was 50 Dead Men Walking.
That is Sturgis.
All right. So you get the idea now?
I am the idea, my friend.
All right, so let's see. Where are we going to start? Let's start with 2008's Milk, playing Cleve Jones.
That's Emil Hirsch. Directed by Sean Penn. James Franco's also in that.
He is also in that.
Yeah. My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you. You're done.
All right, what about 2007's Alpha Dog, playing Johnny Truelove? What a good film.
Okay, that's directed by Nick Cassavetti. Bruce Willis is in that. Sharon Stone is in that. And Emil Hirsch is in it.
All right. So now,
You still want to play this game?
All right. So, who is in Muppets Most Wanted in 2014? I believe this is the Muppets movie with the big fuck from How I Met Your Mother.
The big fuck?
I can't think of his name.
The big fuck from How I Met Your Mother.
He's real big.
Jason
Biggs.
Jason Biggs.
Same guy.
I'm sorry. Okay. So say it one more time.
So it's 2014's Muppets Most Wanted.
Okay.
He has a cameo as Delivery Man.
Sturgis.
Wrong. That is James McAvoy.
James McAvoy is in a cameo in that.
As the delivery man.
And this is after Last King of Scotland. Yes.
Absolutely.
He was in an Oscar-nominated film, then he goes to The Muppet. All right, I'm sorry. No? Okay.
All right.
I got cocky way too early. Mushed myself.
Now we're
going to... You're throwing curvers at me here, though.
Now we're going with 2008's The Other Boleyn Girl, playing George Boleyn.
That's Sturgis.
All right. Now okay. You got that one.
Yeah. Because it's not the Muppets. Wait, his face is in it, right? He's not playing like a Muppet of himself, right? I'm sorry. That got me.
No, it's not him. A voice role.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
About 2014's Kidnapping Freddie Heineken. I think in America it was Kidnapping Mr. Heineken. Playing Cor Van Hoot. I don't know if you ever saw this movie. It's really good. It's based on a true story of kidnapping a bunch of criminals in Amsterdam kidnap the guy who owns Heineken Brewery.
Really?
Yeah. Played by Anthony Hopkins. It's a good flick.
That's McAvoy.
No, that is Jim Sturgis. All right.
How much money am I down right now? Wait, is this to get your money back? This better not be $20 a miss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely is.
Okay, keep going.
All right. Now, I'm going to throw you out a easy one here. You got 2008 Speed Racer.
That's Emil Hirsch. That's Emil Hirsch.
How about 2007's Atonement?
That's McAvoy.
All right. Okay. See, I didn't think you would get that one.
That was his, like, that was his, that was, no, that's McAvoy.
That was a coming out party?
Yeah.
Let's see. How about 1999, guest starring as Daryl on Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
You're a dick.
You're a big fan of Sabrina?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Now, I'm thinking 1999. Can I ask you a question? Did you research this? Are they all around the same age? Am I allowed to know that?
Hirsch is 33.
Shut up!
He was born in 1985. Jim Sturgis is 39. He was born in 78.
Okay.
McAvoy, I didn't even see.
Okay. I'm going to go... I'm gonna go Sturgis on that one.
Emil Hirsch. It's always Emil Hirsch.
What?
Listen to this 1999 from Emil Hirsch. So he's on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
Two of a Kind, which you might remember as the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen vehicle on like ABC Family.
Vehicle.
He's in two episodes. He's in one episode of The Profiler and one episode of The Pretender. In both episodes, he's playing Bryce Banks. Apparently, it's a shared universe situation.
Oh, okay.
And, like, the character's recurring.
Very Tarantino-like, yeah.
He's in ER, and he's in NYPD Blue.
He's been acting a while.
That's old 1999.
Oh, that's old 1999.
Yeah, it's a hell of a 1999.
Wow, he's getting all his TV credits. Wow. All right.
2011,
mm-hmm.
The Darkest Hour, playing Sean. You might remember this movie. It's Alien... They're in Russia, and they're invaded by aliens who are invisible, and they, like, steal electricity. So they have to turn out all the lights, because they're, like... If
that's Sturgis.
That's Emil Hirsch. It's always Emil Hirsch.
No, it's not! He works, man!
He's fucking working out there.
You made me look like a fool. You throw me three lobs, and then all of a sudden you're winging them.
I'm just trying to get you warmed up. So I think this might be the last one. Actually, no, I got two more.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couple more. Fuck it. So, how about 2001's Swimming Pool? In America, it was called The Pool. It was a slasher movie taking place in Prague. A bunch of teenagers are in a...
I'm going to say Sturgis again. If it's Emil Hirsch again, I'm going to slam the mic.
It's McAvoy. You ever see that? You're a big slasher movie guy?
No, I'm not. I don't...
Listen, 2001, The Swimming Pool.
Go ahead. Can I just make a point? When we started this thing here, I'm mentioning quality films. You picked out every movie and TV show they've done. Like the
Swimming
Muppets.
Pool is an amazing movie.
It's a movie, though. It's not a film.
Well, if you go through these three guys' films, how many do you think there really are? Five?
That's why I'd be good at it.
No, we're talking working actors.
Paid gigs. Okay, go ahead.
All right, and then we got 2011's Romeo and Juliet playing Romeo. You might remember this as Romeo and Juliet, but with lawn gnomes?
No, I don't. But You motherfucker. Alright, I'm gonna just to end this, and I already lost here, it's Emile Hirsch, isn't it?
It's fucking James McAvoy.
Oh,
and now he's all...
I tried to read you, too. That was my key here. Anyone I didn't get, I was gonna try and seek a pattern in the form of questioning.
Sure.
So I figured you were gonna do two Sturges, then throw an Emile Hirsch, another Emile Hirsch, then you were gonna drop a Sturges on me.
Well, that's what I was trying to avoid doing.
Because you're clever. I give you that. That's very good.
I just want to point that Romeo and Juliet is getting a sequel called Sherlock Gnomes, where James McAvoy is reprising the role of Romeo.
I'm gonna go research all of this tonight, and if it's not, we're doing you're gonna print a retraction next week.
There's no retractions. That was all 100% factual.
I gotta look up this Emile Hirsch. James McAvoy, popping in as the Muppets delivery man.
We're gonna have to find a
clip. Do they pay well to do that? Like, he was the reason I was so shocked with McAvoy on that one, I could see the other two. Like, he was nominated. He was in an Oscar-nominated film.
I've always gotten the impression Emile Hirsch takes himself very seriously. And
he works with Sean Penn a lot. You think he does? You think?
Where McAvoy seems like, I think he's very, very talented, but he also doesn't seem to take himself too seriously.
I think all three of them take themselves way too seriously, but not after hearing that list. They work.
Oh, they're all working out
there. That's all a paycheck.
All right.
What's that song? Oh, I don't want to quote it if I don't know.
Working for the weekend.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah. Yes.
How did I pick up on that?
You get it. They're working for the weekend.
All right. So that's topic two. What do you think? We might bring back more games.
As long as you pick better, like, you don't embarrass me like that, but yeah.
Right,
because I take pride in my film knowledge, but those aren't films. Those are movies, so I'm not that upset about it.
But see, I want to do one with, like, Ben Foster and...
I could kill that one.
Who's the guy? He's the little brother in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, Giovanni Ribisi? I fucking hate that guy.
Do you think you could keep Ben Foster and Giovanni Ribisi separate in your head?
I would like to think so, but if they were on the Muppets, I'm probably going to lose. Okay.
All right. So now we're going to move on to topic three. It's the big topic for us, I think. It's the death of the DCU?
The DC Universe, the death of it.
Or I guess it's the DCEU, the Extended Universe, is what they call it in press
releases. I'm against them, first of all, using the word extended when you're launching something. Like, you don't say we're extending something at the start. An extension, it comes on when you've already established a concrete, you know, base to start with, and then you extend. They didn't even get their foot in the door, and they're like, oh, this is... They were
jumping the gun a little bit. How many movies... Do you know exactly how many movies there are? Because I can tell you right off the top of my head.
Then you tell... Yeah, you tell. Right.
So it's five movies.
That's it?
So far.
Okay. Are you counting Man of Steel in that?
Yes. Okay. That would be Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, and then Justice League.
Okay.
And
then Aquaman is done already.
Aquaman's coming out December 21st, 2018. So it's almost an entire year from now.
But it's done. It's shot.
No, it was originally supposed to come out July 27th, then it got pushed back to October 5th, and then it got pushed back again to December.
Just to get for people to get the bad taste out of their mouth with the other five shit movies?
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you think that is? Is that them... They're probably reworking it after Justice League, because that's what they did to Justice League after...
Well, they had an excuse with Justice League, though. Like, Zack Snyder's kid died, so, like, I can understand them trying to, like, scrape together what they had to do to get the movie done in that time. I get that.
But that was all. There was also a lot of Joss Whedon reshoots. They were trying to lighten it up a little bit because they...
More appeal to children more because it's a comic book movie.
Well, and everyone was complaining about how dark and gritty Batman vs. Superman was. So that's why you get all those little jokes and stuff in Justice League. It's like they're trying to listen, and somehow it just always makes it shittier.
Can I try and make a... This is the way I look at it. The DC Universe, okay, is trying to appeal to the American public like the American government does when they fight a war, okay? You can't appease both sides. You can't try to do the tough guy, alpha, gritty thing. Like, you can't invade a country and then try and be the nice guy on the other side. If you know what I'm saying there, okay?
No, right.
Okay? There's no peaceful way to invade somebody. There's no gritty way to make a child's movie. So you either need to break it down and say, look, we're going to make this a dark comic book movie. And you can make other ones that are lighter. Like, they could have taken different superheroes and made them like a... Like, you don't need to make a Dark Flash movie. There's really no need to do that.
It's not what the character is.
But Batman, I want to see a dark Batman. I really want to see a PTSD Batman, alcoholic Bruce Wayne, womanizing Bruce Wayne. I want
to
see that.
Especially if you've decided to do older Batman, he's been around. Because it also, then when you get to Justice League, when you're mashing in the lighthearted Flash with dark and gritty Batman, and that's where the comedy can come from.
Yes. Is,
like, you don't even really have to introduce Batman. Everyone gets it.
Everyone knows.
And, like,
I'm done with the origin. Done.
Right. And I would say most people know who fucking Superman is, but I would say most people know who the Flash is, don't you think?
Yeah.
You might have to introduce him a little bit. Aquaman, you have to reintroduce just to...
Absolutely.
Because people know who he is, but, you know, half of it's from, like, Entourage because of how stupid it is, an idea it is to make an Aquaman movie.
Yeah.
But, like...
I love him as Aquaman, though. For that shit, for the shit sandwich that is the Justice League movie, he's whole wheat toast on it.
He's my man.
He's my... The best quote of that film.
I mean, I like him. I don't know if I really want to watch a whole Aquaman movie.
I don't know if I want to watch a whole Flash movie either, but, like, I told you the thing. Like, that Flash, I don't like. And, like, I want to try and reorganize this conversation to start from a point and end at a point, because we jumped so much last time. We're really trying to collect our thoughts the right way here.
It's a good thing we have any notes on this.
Oh, yeah, so we're winging it. But, the Flash TV show, I really like. I like the way that character is played. I like that Barry Allen, the way that Flash is. I don't like this Flash in the cinematic version of him. I don't. He's very neurotic. They kind of, you even said they make him, they even said he's on the spectrum of autism. They say that. That doesn't need to be said, okay? If somebody is a savant and we get that, we get the whole thing, you don't need to say the spectrum because nowadays it's edgy and cool to mention autism. Like we get that. But Barry Allen, the character in the comic books and even on this TV show, like, I get it. It is good to change some characters, but, like, don't throw all these changes in when you really need to make a point that DC for the first time is making they're putting their stamp on their movies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why I didn't like The Flash. I didn't like the way he was perceived. Wonder Woman is great. I like the Wonder Woman movie. I like her. She's very easy on the eyes, and she was great in the movies. But
I was surprised. She's believable as in an action scene. She's funny and she's charming, and, like, she seems to have really good chemistry with most of the cast.
Because they're all men. It's really easy for a good-looking girl to have chemistry with men she's working with.
No, but I even mean just...
I made a joke, but yes, no, I know what you're saying. She reads off, like, I've seen women in comic book movies before, like, the girl who plays Batgirl in our favorite Batman movie, Jerry Bruckheimer's Batman and Robin. Batgirl from Clueless, also another
Alicia Silverstone?
That is her name, that is. I always get her confused with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But all her lines were so, like, so, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, those are not...
But even Anne Hathaway does it in Dark Knight Rises. Her things are very, like, very corny lines in it. Like, right. She's the only corny one in those movies, you know?
That was one of the funny things about Gal Gadot being in... I guess I just forgot that they were going to introduce Wonder Woman. Mm. When she shows up in Batman vs. Superman, and they're, like, in a museum looking at stuff, I was like, oh, wow, that's a great Catwoman. Because, like, she has that kind of flirty, weird relationship with Bruce, like, right off the bat.
Does Bruce ever sleep with Catwoman in any universe?
There was a big thing in the New 52, in the first issue of Catwoman. They have pretty explicit sex in it. And, like, people got all worked up about how, like, Batman, like, they have the suits on still, and the, you know, it's a very Watchmen kind of...
They have a problem with that, but they don't have a problem with him having sex with Barbara Gordon in the Killing Joke.
Well, in the animated show, a lot of people had a problem with that.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah, Bruce Timm got a lot of shit for that, because he was, like, apparently he had been writing his fanfic about Batgirl and Batman for a long time.
Because that wasn't in the comic. That's what bothered me.
Right. It's not in the comic.
It's implied that they have tension, which is absolutely fine, but I think they got very excited about, we're going to make a rated R Killing Joke animated movie. So let's just make Batman fuck Barbara Gordon.
Well, I mean, if you're going for Batman stories and, like, the Killing Joke is very... It's held up as being, like, one of the best ones.
I think it is the best comic ever written.
But it is ever written?
Ever written, yeah.
It's better than Watchmen.
Wait, I hate
it's better than, it's better than The Long Halloween?
Yeah, it is. Hush is up there, too. There's a lot of great... I'm saying, I don't... It's my person... It's tough. But also, A Death in the Family is great, too. It's tough.
Right, but it's... But Killing Joke is very edgy and... Is that Frank Miller? It's probably Frank Miller, right?
No. No, it's not. It's somebody else. No, it's not Frank Miller.
All right. It has the best ending.
It has the most questionable, controversial ending to a comic ever. It's my personal favorite. That's why I'm saying it's the best. But it's up there. It's definitely in most people's top 10. Comic people, top 10 is in Killing Joke, is there?
No, that's
Watchmen's fair. Watchmen's 1 or 2 as well. Like, that you throw me, that's like saying, you know, Casablanca or Citizen Kane for, like, film people.
No, I know. That's just why I said it, because you said
yeah.
Best comic ever. Mm-hmm.
Archie's, number 82.
I mean, Archie's fucking up there.
Yeah.
You watched Riverdale yet?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Have you heard anything about it?
No.
I don't know if I want to get sucked into sexy teen drama.
After you've been playing a Japanese virtual reality game with teen drama, you're afraid to ask out a virtual girl.
She's the homeroom teacher. I don't know if she's going to want to go out with me.
You're going to ask out?
I've been paying her 5,000 yen to come over and clean my house. We'll talk about it later.
I don't know if I want to. Okay. But we went on the Killing Joke here. But yeah, back to the... Because that's the animated thing. It's not connected to the DC, like, studios, like, actual...
Do you want to see any more DC movies?
If they're done the right way. I told you what I would like to see from them.
Tell me now.
Okay. Because they obviously can't do it the way Marvel does. They cannot... They can't. They really, really can't. And I'm not going to say every Marvel movie is great. But Marvel puts out enough work that where if something's bad, they just drop it and they move on and they focus on, like, Iron Man 3 is awful.
I think it's better than Iron Man 2.
It's still bad though, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But when you, if I said Iron Man to you right now, you'd be like, oh, Robert Downey Jr., because Iron Man 1 was great, but all the reruns are always Iron Man 1, you know what I'm saying?
Iron Man's good in Iron Man 1.
Avengers, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They, DC puts all their eggs in one basket, and then when it doesn't work out, they tip. And that's what happened with this. They put it all on Batman vs. Superman. People didn't like that, so like, we gotta stock up on Justice League. They bombed with that one. Wonder Woman was great, and now she doesn't want to do this. She doesn't want to continue with it anymore.
Who would want to?
Who would want to? Ben Affleck is not Batman anymore. It's already been said.
Well, I think the last rumor I read was that they're trying to get Jake Gyllenhaal.
I could see Jake doing it. The thing is,
maybe they could get Jim Sturgess. When Jim Sturgess was in Atonement, apparently the second choice was
Jim Sturgess wasn't in Atonement. That's McAvoy. See, Atonement's back. See,
McAvoy. Apparently, their second choice was Jake Gyllenhaal. Right. Is he the breakout star of those four?
Who?
Jake.
You're throwing? No, you can't throw him in there. Donnie Darko was way before Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I bet that's 1999.
It's 94, I think. 95.
No fucking way.
But we'll look that up. You gotta look that up, but we'll see. But this is the way I want Batman. The successful Batmans have been the ones that weren't big actors on their own at the time. Like, they weren't looked at as the gods they were. Like, Bale was a great actor. He did movies, but he was not Christian Bale. Like, the big deal he was until the Batman franchise, like, the Batman brand was on him. Like, he did Batman Begins, it was great, and then he continued to do other movies on the side.
Yeah, Terminator Salvation.
Yes. You need a star who isn't this big icon already to play Batman, because you're not looking at it as Batman anymore. You're looking at it as Ben Affleck playing Batman, Val Kilmer playing Batman. That's George Clooney. That's not Batman. You know what I'm saying? Like, Christian Bale was still, I'm not saying he was an unknown, but he was established, but he wasn't a big rock star in terms of a movie star to take on that role, and he didn't overpower it. So that's one thing I want done. The other thing is, and I said this to you before, and I think you said you liked the idea of it. I think DC needs to scrap their whole idea of we're going to try and do what Marvel does and have a one set universe, and we're going to try, because you can't. It's shown, you've proven you cannot do that. So why don't you allow, the one time you had success was when Christopher Nolan did his own little alternate spin-off on Batman, and it's great. If there was no three Christopher Nolan DC movies, Batman, forget it. I don't even know what DC would be doing right now.
Right, all we'd have to talk about would be Batman 89 and maybe Batman Returns.
Yes, I think you'd be...
And we could jokingly love Batman and Robin.
Yes, and that's what that would be. I think they should allow, and this is what I think they are going to do. If the rumors are true, this is a heavy rumor, but there always tends to be a lot of rumors with DC that Scorsese's doing the Joker Origins movie and Leo is playing Joker. That does sound like a big, big rumor, but if that is true, the only thing that would be really, like, one of the cool things from it would be that there, I would hope they would give directors the artistic freedom to be like, okay, we're licensing you on the copyright to do a Batman film here. Do your own take on it. Have right. a field day with it. That way, if that doesn't work, you could scrap it and then you have another guy do it. But if you have somebody that's good and you have like a you find one that works, take off with that one. Take off with that one. You know? Maybe try, maybe, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Allow because do what you do in the comic books.
Yes.
And have, who cares? All right, Scorsese, say, I don't think Scorsese and Lee are making a fucking Joker movie.
Brendan said the same thing. But
but the, you know, say if Scorsese comes out with a Batman movie next year, there's no reason that.
You don't want to see Pesci as Penguin? That would be the best fucking Penguin ever.
That'd be pretty good.
Am I a penguin? I amuse you. I'm here to fucking tap around and amuse you.
Could you him just beating someone to death with the umbrella? Like, you could make the Penguin an amazing character with like that. You know what I mean?
God, Pesci's old now too.
Just an old bitter Penguin.
And have him kill Danny DeVito, who just is another character in it as like a homage. You know? Okay, but I'm sorry. Keep going. I just thought that was great.
But you could do, you know, the Scorsese Batman, and there's no reason that 2 years later you couldn't have someone else's Batman. They don't have to necessarily fix the other. Like, if they do, great.
Great.
But
if not, it gives you more freedom to pivot, because you need to start from square one, like, and just go with it. Because right. I don't want them to keep taking 20 years off from making DC movies, because they're my favorite characters. Right. They are, you know? But they can't just keep putting all their eggs in one basket with all, and then all of a sudden when something doesn't work because it's, you don't have it for it, and it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's, you can't just ride everything and then dump it at the end. This gives you more move to pivot and adjust. Say, all right, say they make Jake Gyllenhaal Batman. They do one movie and it's great. So let's run with it again. And then we do a side movie. Then we do Superman, and we let it build and then we merge it. We right. don't just start with Batman versus Superman.
Right. Like, you could have in your Batman movie, like, have a news clip of someone talking about Metropolis. And
yes.
And then
build.
That's the link. Like, in the Marvel movies, they wait fucking 7 movies before they really bring it up.
Yeah. You see Captain America's shield in the first Iron Man movie. Briefly, and that's it.
You
and
see the Infinity Gauntlet in Thor. But, like, Thor doesn't have anything to do with Iron Man.
Yeah.
And that's great, because eventually they come together. And the problem with DC is, they make movies about being together.
They start at the top, and they didn't build it up to that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like they hadn't even gotten a real handle on Superman yet. Apparently it's impossible to make a Superman movie.
I liked Man of Steel.
It's okay.
It's the best one out of the shit that we saw.
Now, you like it more than the Christopher Reeves movies?
Mm.
I mean, I love Quest for Peace, but that's a bad movie.
Hmm.
He puts the Great Wall of China together with his supervision.
Brando's done some shit. Brando's done some shit.
He was working. You gotta work.
You got working for the weekend, man. Working for the weekend.
But, like, there's no reason that you can't make a good Flash movie. Why wouldn't you just make a Flash movie?
Why is it taking so long to make a Flash movie? Because they were banking on this idea being a home run. Guess what? If you're a home run hitter and you swing and miss a lot, guess what? Sometimes it's a home run, sometimes it isn't. It wasn't. They were expecting Bonds to step to the plate and knock it out of the park. Guess what? Snyder ain't Bonds, okay? Affleck ain't Bonds, you know?
I'm going to do an entire topic on Zack Snyder eventually.
We could do that.
Because I think he's the most interesting working director.
All right, I'm sorry. Because we have talked about this. I don't want to discredit Snyder because we said this. The fight scenes that he shoots, okay, because we don't know what scenes he shot for.
I bet we could go through it and I could tell you.
We could point it out, but
this is Whedon. This is Snyder.
Yes. In Batman vs. Superman, those are the best Batman fight scenes I've seen.
Absolutely.
I love them. Even though he's killing people. 46. It is. And I like the way he shoots that. Like, he did 300. Fucking great. You know what I'm saying? But, like,
Sucker Punch is an awful movie, but it's got some great fight scenes.
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, there is...
Oh, shit. I missed one.
You missed one line.
Let me see if I can hold that. I don't think I wrote it down.
That's okay. Radio edit.
Yeah. There was the Owls of... The Guardians of Ga'Hoole, the Owl movie.
Zack Snyder did that?
He directed it, and either Hirsch,
Shut
McAvoy,
up! Animal Comes Around?
Was in it.
I think that's where we end it, then.
Alright, that's you want to call it a quits? You're happy with that DC?
I'm happy with that DC, unless there's anything you want to bring to the table, because I'm afraid if you open up a can of worms here, I might not come back from it, and then this is going on in 3 hours. I like the points we made. I really did. If they're going to, in any future endeavors, I do believe they should work on individual projects on their own and not try and connect everything right off the bat. When something works, run with it, build it a little bit, and then connect them. Don't just connect something as from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like starting a porno on the cum shot. We don't know how that happened. We don't know if he pulled out.
Give me some builds.
Or if he just washed and jerked off. You know, there's a lot we need to know. I need some backstory.
I need a little foreplay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't need to know every single porno that Bruce Wayne's parents got shot beforehand, but I want to know how he got to the cum shot. If that made any sense in my twisted fucking logic.
No, it does.
Okay.
See you around, kiddo.
See you around, kiddo.
Thank you for listening to episode 2 of 3 with Z. You can reach out to us on Twitter at 3 with Z, Z-E-E, or email us at 3 with Z, it's the letter 3 with Z, @gmail.com. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.